roll right into this.
Hello, and welcome to a special episode of Geekly Reveal. This time it's about Star Wars, The Last Jedi. As always, It's your host, Dom, a.k.a. Brother Dom, a.k.a. Tuxedo Flask, a.k.a. Hot Pilgrim, a.k.a. Kylo Hen. And as always, Kylo Hennessy.
Okay, yeah, is that your bird name?
I'm a bird.
Your bird sona?
Like the porg.
Is the porg a bird?
It gets cooked like a bird. And as always, I am joined by the coolest co-host. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Hey all, it's Stephanie, a.k.a. Captain Steph on the Twitters, the Snowqueer on the Tumblrs, and Ryan Johnson's worst enemy.
So we are going to do a little talk about Star Wars. I guess we should probably start with, other than that little pork chat, which that's who cares. Do you want to do like a non-spoiler chat for the listeners that might not want to jump in that and then get into spoiler talk?
Yeah, let's I guess maybe like I don't know how long I can go without spoiling something, so maybe like 5 minutes.
It's gonna be short, so I recommend you all go see this movie, long story short, and we're going to try to, start spoiler light, and then we're going to, go full spoilers in about 5 minutes, but we'll do a nice cutoff, so, yeah. So, spoiler-free talks, did you like the movie?
I was kind of disappointed by the movie.
Oh, no.
If we're being real honest.
But that's not liking it or disliking it, that's just being disappointed.
Let's put it this way, I thought... When I came out of it, I felt very similarly to it as I felt about Justice League, where I was like, wow, that was a movie that had some great characters in it and a lot of cool moments, but otherwise isn't something that I'm going to, die on a hill for.
Okay, that's fair.
And I can accept in fairness that I... don't think anyone could have delivered the movie that I wanted this to be.
That's fair.
That's
feasible. that's very fair. I think that's the curse of a second movie in a trilogy. It's hard to be what everybody would want while being like, okay, but still come back for the third one. I liked it a lot. I liked it a whole lot. And then once people started telling me some of the criticisms that I even had during the movie, I'm like, okay, I could see that. I don't think they necessarily take away from the enjoyment the first time you see the movie, but it's kind of like how Civil War was. I'm not in a rush to see Civil War again.
Yeah.
And the way, not quite the way I was with Ultron, where I didn't even recognize the faults of that till somebody told me, because I was just so enamored by the spectacle. And this movie definitely delivers on the spectacle alone. So even if you don't like any of the actions that happen, it's a beauty to look at. That's undeniable, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
The sound design's good. All the things that make a movie good are good. It's just I think the plot is kind of where, if anything stumbles, it's some of the plot doesn't feel amazing.
Acting is great. The spoilers are great.
They are.
Acting is great.
Anything worth spoiling was good.
The sound design was really good. The character designs were great.
I guess it wasn't a blow you out of the water affair to the point where I'm like, you have to go see this right now. Drop everything you're doing. I'm like, you should go see this as soon as you can.
Yeah.
Which is, very slightly almost the same thing, but... Well, you're more into Star Wars as a franchise than I am. You have more of a connection to the franchise, right?
Yeah. I have seen the other movies besides The Force Awakens, Dom.
You purposely went to see The Force Awakens. I probably wouldn't have seen it the year it came out if I wouldn't have, been at your house with Austin, our buddy. Uh-huh. If someone wouldn't have said, hey, let's go do this, I probably would have just missed it, because I didn't care that much. I was one of the people who was like, oh yeah, Star Wars is probably going to be bad, because it's not a reboot, but they're bringing it back, so I assumed The Force Awakens was going to be trash. I was wrong. I was very wrong. I'm glad I was wrong, but I wasn't in a rush to see it, so when this movie came out, I'm like, oh, this is cool, some more great stuff, you know? So, take that for what it is, but I think it succeeds as a film.
Yeah, well, I think my overall issues with it came down to pacing.
I can agree with that, yeah.
and, like, the plot as a whole. Like, I think that... I'm trying to phrase this in a non-spoilery way. Like, I think there are certain plot...
I think I know, like, what you're saying. Like, it happens
framing in the... art. Like, well, first of all, there are definitely pieces of this movie that didn't feel necessary and wasted characters on B plots that could have been folded in different, like, that the same things could have been achieved with, like, a shorter and less dramatic B plot.
Yeah.
That didn't feel like it wasted the characters.
That makes sense, but yeah.
Also think that, like, some movies succeed in, like, a certain plot trope. Like, you say, like Ocean's 11 is a heist movie. Like, some movies succeed with that heist structure and some don't. Like,
that's fair, yeah. Speaking of which, Ocean's 8 is coming out, so we'll talk about that next time we do a Geekly.
Exciting. Whereas, like, this movie, a lot of it is predicated on a chase scene. And while, like, there are movies where the whole movie is a chase scene that are very, like, good and exciting and tight and well plotted, like, Mad Max Fury Road is a 2-hour-long chase scene.
I think Mad Max has the issue of, like, that movie's a little bit more schlocky and junk in the sense that, I mean, I still need to see it, so, but I'm not judging it. I think that's a good thing. Like, it's a Mad Max film, so there's a little bit of, like, we're going in, like, with the idea that it's going to be BS, so we're going to embrace that, rather than Star Wars feels a little bit like their fans will be mad if they embrace the fact that, like, this is really, like, a simple-ass story between good and evil about space wizards and their buddies. Like, it's not that deep, but they want to make it a little bit more dramatic, which... To us, it shouldn't be, but to the characters, it very much is. Like, people live and people die, so it is dramatic. But it's it's kind of like...
Well, the difference to me, I think, in it, between Mad Max and Star Wars is not necessarily in the seriousness of the plot or whether it's schlocky or not, but in that in Mad Max, each escalation of the plot seems like the tension is mounting.
Yeah, okay.
And the stakes are very clear. And whereas in this, it felt like it was at 11 at every point. Or, like, not at all. Like, it was either, like, something that was very... Like, either we were worried about this and needed to figure it out right now, or it was something that could wait.
Right, yeah. I think the it either went from 11A to 11B... Or it was at, like, 1 or 2. Or it was something that was, like, a 1 or 2 level urgency to affect a level 11 emergency somewhere else kind of thing. It was paced a little bit weird. But I don't think it was any less enjoyable from that. It's definitely, like, you want to know what happens and you care about all the stuff while you're watching it. It's, like, after the fact, like, okay.
Yeah, like, that was the thing. Like, I kept being like, wow, like, there must still be a half hour left in this movie if they're going to wrap this up this time around. Like, every time there, like, something new happened, I was like, wow, they're not even close to resolving this. Either they're going to pull, like, a hardcore Empire Strikes Back and end it on, like, the bad guys win and we don't know what's going on.
I thought that was going to happen so bad. Like, or... a few times I'm like, please don't, please don't, please don't. Okay, cool, it didn't end.
Yeah.
But that's our general thoughts. So what would you rate it? I guess either letter scale or 0 or 1 to 10. Whatever you prefer. Let's go letter, because people can relate to that a little better. Because I think a 5 is average, but people think an 8 is an average, so that scale's useless.
True, yeah. I would say a B- at best.
Okay.
The more I think about it, the more things I'm pissed off about, so, like...
I mean, I was going to give it the same grade, like, with a different tone in my voice.
Okay.
I was going to say B- to B, like, in a good way.
Uh-huh.
But
like, a solid B-.
Like, yeah. You definitely are going to graduate.
If you pass this class, you're definitely going to graduate.
Yeah, you probably could have tried a little harder, but you also realized, I'm a senior, and I already got 100 on, like, the first test, and I really only need to get a B on this to graduate. But it definitely had a lot of A-plus moments, which I guess that's let's talk some spoilers now. You want to do that?
Yeah.
Real quick, thanks everyone for listening. You know where to catch us on the normal stuff, and we'll get to that in the next time, so thanks for listening. And just giving you like a few seconds to turn this off if you don't want spoiled. In 3, 2, 1. it's serious. There's a 2-week embargo that a lot of people have. You know, no one wants to spoil something. So, hey, we'll see you guys next time. And spoil something for me, Steph. Tell me something great. Tell me an A-plus moment.
An A-plus moment. Okay. Probably my favorite moment in the beginning of the movie was when it was Luke being kind of a troll and like kind of leaning into the fact that like he may be the only Jedi, but that doesn't mean he's a great Jedi.
He's kind of just a jackass that happens to be a Jedi.
Yeah, like throwing the lightsaber and like whacking Rey's hand with the leaf and like kind of being a troll.
Yeah, there are a lot of good. He's like, oh, this is I'm done with this. I like the scene where he like drinks that milk and he gives Rey like this weird look like, this is what this is. I hope you're prepared.
This is how I live. This is what a Jedi does.
It's like the story's never mentioned weird milk. It looked at me funny.
Like the but like in that is also like a
character
like
moment.
A pace, well, it's like a character moment for Luke, but it's also like a pacing thing. Like, did we need to see him drink that weird milk?
Yes.
Okay.
I think we did. I think we did. You know what? The reason I like the Luke scene, because it kind of reinforced a lot from what I've heard Star Wars was, is that, like, you know, Luke is the chosen one. He's destined to all this, but he still is just like some guy.
He's like a farm boy from a desert planet. Like,
yeah, he's like, imagine like some dude you went to high school with turned out to like essentially be kind of Jesus. Well, kind of Jesus' son. but then like he didn't stop being the guy that he is. You know, he's just, it's like Harry Potter. He's just like a quarterback who happens to be the one who's going to save everybody. I mean, granted, Hermione did most of the heavy work. But still, I mean, I liked all the stuff with Luke, though. I've seen Mark Hamill and other stuff, so it's kind of weird to, like, to hear his voice now that he's into, like, an adult. It's like, oh, he does just sound like his version of the Joker. Like, that's kind of a voice he puts on, but that kind of is just what Mark Hamill sounds like. And his metal hand looked cool.
Yeah.
But as far as like the pacing, I think this is probably what I'm hearing from a lot of people as far as legitimate criticisms go, because there's a lot of meta bombing going on right now, like on Rotten Tomatoes and stuff. People are very upset at the quote SJW feminist liberal nonsense going on in this movie.
LOL.
I mean, when I was watching, I'm like, ooh, a lot of people are going to be upset about this movie, and I am delighting in every second of it. But as far as legitimate complaints go, I do think the whole B plot with Finn and Rose, that stopped being a B plot once that was over and it just became the next part of the movie. It did feel like out of place and weird and not in a necessarily useful way.
Yeah, so like not only was it like the only thing that really came of it in terms of progressing the plot, like the arc of the trilogy as opposed to just the arc of the movie, is that like Rose left that resistance like coda ring with those kids, and so like there was like the sense that there is push for the resistance out in the wider world.
Like, as it turns out, that's like the only thing that came of that, because their plan failed ultimately.
But yeah, but because the plan, first of all, was based on the fact that Poe did not trust Leia or Leia's decisions, and also that it failed overall, made that entire arc completely useless.
Like, it made it a Shaggy Dog story. It made it useless other than the fact that, yeah, there's resistance hope out there now. That could have come from anything.
It could have come from anything in such a different way that didn't, kind of undermine Finn's character and assassinate Rose's character out of the gate. Because I think, like, Rose is an exciting and, like, heroic and, like, selfless character, but it's kind of the same, like, it's striking me that she ends up being similar to, like, And here's another reference you won't, that means nothing to you, but as Toriel in the Hobbit movies, where it's like, yeah, it's great that we put a fucking woman in these movies because there are no women in the Hobbit. But ultimately, the fact that, like, ultimately Toriel is there to be forced into a love triangle and it affects the plot in no meaningful way. To the point where when someone made, like, a, like, supercut of all three movies together, they cut her plotline entirely.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, well, I mean, I think the thing that I think Star Wars is ultimately struggles with is some of that stuff. Because, I mean, Rose isn't one of the... She's not, like, the first woman to be added in the plot. I'd say she's the first woman of color. Because Rey definitely is not in any actual love triangle, despite what shippers want to say, including myself.
Oh, no, yeah.
I'll join in that problem, but it's not like she's has any love interest. I also appreciate how much her and Finn are like, I love bros. You as a friend. Like, they're bros, and like such, they care about each other so much. They didn't kiss when they met, but like, I'm glad you're alive. I'm glad you're alive. Mm-hmm. And Rose inspired the, she inspired more resistance. And I have a feeling that Finn's going to say in the next movie, like, you know, fight for what we love, not what we hate. Like, I guarantee he's going to repeat that line.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not, like, I appreciate that they didn't simply just make her a Finn device, you know what I mean? Like, no one seems to be a device for Finn's character, because he still keeps trying to run away from stuff until, like, Rose kept calling him out. So he's like, you know, I'm going to sacrifice myself, because, like, this is bigger than me. And then she saved him by, like, hurting herself, which is, you know, I don't think she's being fridged, because it's like, you're passed out, but if you're passed out as long as Finn is, that means you're going to be passed out for all of 5 minutes of the next movie.
Yeah, that's what it was. I was actually, I thought that she died just there.
I thought that
until
too.
Until 10 minutes later in the movie, he pulls up with her on, like,
a sled.
Like, dragging her, on a sled, and is like, I need medics right now, and I'm like,
look,
I literally thought she died.
Disney loves money, and they're like, we're not going to introduce, like, our first woman of color with a major role and then kill her in the same movie. Like, we don't need that press, especially since we're buying Fox and we're already Monopoly.
I was going to say, since they already killed one of them.
Her sister, right?
Since they already fridged her sister, yeah. Also, like, pretty sure that they're, like, copy-pasted in from a different series. Not because they're the only major Asian characters in the franchise, but because Paige and Rose are, like, real normal names.
What do you mean?
Like,
they're not, like, spacey.
They're not like weird Star Wars space names. Like, Finn's Finn because those are the letters of his stormtrooper.
Yeah.
ID, but like everyone else is like Armitage Hux and
Poe.
Yeah, Poe Dameron. Like,
actually, Luke has a regular name except until you get a Skywalker. But I mean, like,
yeah,
because you know he walks in the sky.
Leia Organa,
Leia, good old Leia. Appreciate that she didn't take Han's name.
Yeah, like, right.
No, I'm not going to be Leia Solo. That doesn't sound good. It doesn't roll off the tongue. Neither does Han Organa. Like, it rolls off the tongue, but it sounds like a single name.
I feel like given the dynamic there, it would have made more sense for Han to take her name.
If anyone would have, it would have. Yeah.
Yeah, if anyone was going to take a name.
Chewie doesn't get a last name. I mean, I think there's a lot of. I mean, other than that, so I think the scene, like, plot-wise, it wasn't that good. It was good character stuff, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it made you, I don't know, it made me feel a lot for Rose. Like, she very much cares about what's right and wrong, you know what I mean? And and Finn is still very naive of, like, oh, man, this place is beautiful. And she's like, they hurt people's lives. He's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, they hurt people by being here, like.
It probably could have been truncated. Like, they probably didn't have to go to jail. They probably could have just not found the guy they were looking for. And some guy's like, I'll do it for you. Like, they could have got rid of a decent bit of it.
And they never made it clear whether or not that was the guy they were supposed to be looking for in the first place. Because I thought they were that, like, at some point during them working together, that Benicio del Toro's character was going to say something like, "Oh yeah, that pin, I lost it." Like,
yeah, like that guy
in a game of cards or something like that. Like, that guy who was wearing it wasn't the guy you were looking for anyway.
Yeah, I thought that's what they were going to do. I guess that's too predictable of a twist then, because I think probably everybody thought that was going to happen. So I guess good on them for subverting expectations. I think this movie was about failure. Like, that was the whole purpose of the movie. I mean, like, Luke said he failed Kylo Ren. or Ben. So I feel like that's the through line. And if anyone were to say, what's the plot of Star Wars The Last Jedi? I would say a bunch of men make plans that fail and ultimately betray their own self-interests. like Snoke, it's his fault. It's his own fault that he's dead. Like, he could have avoided that. Poe killed half the resistance twice.
Yeah, well, that was another thing in terms of pacing, like, and pacing and stakes, is that, like, from the moment they're on the run, it's, like, the fate of the entire resistance is on the line, and people are dying by the scores. Like, the bombers are blowing up, and then the medical ship is blowing up, and then all the other ships are blowing up, and then, like, the defenseless, like, escape pod ships are blowing up.
I mean,
it's like, there's never, like, an escalation, really?
Yeah, it's just, like, the only escalation is the characters we care about are on that last ship. Like, it's not...
Yeah.
The resistance isn't being saved. It's like, oh, the people I care about are being saved.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that I thought, in terms of, like, pacing and stakes and stuff, especially, like, the scene where Holdo shoots through the dreadnought she rams the resistance ship into hyperdrive through the dreadnought and, like, scuttles it, which is a fantastic fucking scene.
That was,
like,
everything about that scene, I mean, maybe plot wise maybe not, but everything about that scene, from the framing, the sound design, the visual, was like, this is amazing.
Like, chef kiss, like,
oh man. In the silence, like,
yeah, just like that, like, void of, like,
you could just hear in the theater, just, like, gasps, and, like, if you're like, oh my god, like, what the, whoa. Like, that was amazing. Yeah. That was an amazing, I don't know how possible that is, nor do I really care. I'm just curious if it is.
So, I mean, like, in terms of possibility, like, I'm sure it's no more or less possible than, like, jumping out of light speed once you've gone past a shield, which they did in the last movie.
Yeah.
But, like, the thing that bugged me about that scene is that, like, Holdo's already alone on that ship as a suicide mission. Like, to pretend like everyone else is still there and they're still running. So, but, like, 10 of those, like, fleeing vessels are exploded before she decides that she's going to, like, crank that suicide mission up to 11 and turn it around. Like, because it doesn't take that long for her to turn the ship around.
From what we can tell, yeah, like...
From what we can tell. So, like, I feel like she's watching those other ships explode for a while before she's like, oh, shit, I can take an active role in this.
Yeah, like, and I don't know, like, why it took so long. Like, was it actually that long? Or is it just that long in movie time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I was like, you could have done this 20 minutes ago in movie time, and a lot more people would be alive.
I would, yeah, and by that same token, like, why did it take any time at all for, like, the First Order to destroy those escape pods? Like, how powerful of a charge
were they?
Why did it take any time at all?
Yeah, why, like, it's not like, I don't expect it to be, like, a machine gun, but that weather ship, like, it seemed like it took a hot second for it to charge up and then fire, and, like, it's not like it's a, like, it's a Death Star, like,
it's
you're
just
blowing,
like,
up a regular ship.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Poe did get rid of all their, like, little shit. Like, that mission was, like, a half success. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I thought it was a cool, I appreciate how wrong Hux continues to be.
It's like, yeah, that's good.
Sir, that ship looks like it's turning around. There's, like, they're going to go into lightspeed. Nobody's on that ship. Like, it's just a distraction. It's like, when he said them, like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. And he's like, oh, no, she's going to fire. He's like, destroy that ship, bro. He's like, it's just a little too late. And that's the only thing that saved Rose and Finn. It was just coincidence. So, I mean,
yeah,
Poe's plan killed, like, so much.
They were flying back to the thing in, like, Snoke's ship, basically. Like, it's amazing that they didn't get, like, bombed out of the sky before they were able to throw their hands up and be like, wait, no, it's us. Don't kill us.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were just, yeah, that... Well, they didn't have any weapons. Those escape pods didn't have any weapons.
No, but there were weapons on that base.
You know what the funny thing is, though, is like, it's like, hey, how come that weird, not quite TIE fighter is flying towards our planet, but is getting shot at?
Right.
And Poe was like, I could tell everybody that I sent those two off, but I'm going to keep that to myself.
I'm just going
to
pretend that they died, because wouldn't they otherwise be here? Like...
But, so it's like, it's Poe's fault most of the Resistance died, but, like, at the same time, it's also his fault that, like, that giant First Order ship is gone. So, like,
mm-hmm.
would those people have died anyway? I don't know. Lots of people just are fucking dead, so, like, you gotta take risks, I guess. I mean, what else was in that scene? So, like, how about the stuff with Kylo and Rey? I liked that stuff.
Yeah, like, as much as I was, like, very concerned over the course of the movie that both our one Reylo friend and, like, the greater Reylo community was going to, go fucking bonkers over this.
Still can.
They still can.
Still should, to be fair.
But, like, I was pleased with the direction it ultimately took, because, like, from, like, a storytelling perspective in a vacuum, I don't have anything against the idea of Kylo Ren being redeemed. Like, it's a much more common trope in anime than it is in Western fiction for, like, the villain character to be redeemed and then have to work to prove that he is a good person again, as opposed to, like, the Vader Snape, like, briefly redeem myself but never do anything to actually make up for it.
But then die.
And then die, yeah.
Yeah, I had a friend say, like, this movie's so anime and I love it.
But the
like redeeming of him shouldn't have come so soon.
I think because outside of a vacuum, this movie is so political, and the First Order is such a direct, like, straight, like, heavy black line to the alt-right.
Yeah, they're just, like, straight up, they're space Nazis. Like, that's always been the case.
Because the Empire was space Nazis, and now these are the morons a fucking two generations later who think that space Nazis had some good ideas, actually. Like...
I miss the days when you could just have, like... I feel like this is our fault as a culture. When we saw, like Nazi bad guys, it was always able to say, like, oh, man, that's pretty badass. Those are bad guys, though. I have no, like, I don't want to be Darth Vader because he's evil. I want to be Darth Vader because, oh, man, that's a cool helmet and a red lightsaber. But I guess it was, like, problematic in the sense that people were like, oh, yeah, you know, the whole thing, like, they didn't just take the aesthetic. They took, like, the lifestyle and, like, the political views. But it was even easier during, like, Darth Vader times. Cause, like, oh, this guy's just, like, blatantly evil for the fuck of it. Like, there's not, like, you could skip the politics of it, you know what I mean? But now,
yeah, and even with Darth Vader, like, Vader was, he wasn't the political head of the Empire. Like, he was literally the, like, he's referred to constantly within the movie as, like, the Empire's enforcer. Like,
he's just a strong-ass dude.
He's just a strong, like, the Emperor's strong man. Like, he just does what the Emperor tells him, which, I mean, you know, like, following orders
right
is not the best excuse, but, like, if you want to take the prequels into account, like, he got into it for all the right reasons. He just fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, you could, like, especially as, like, from an outsider, you could say, like, oh, since I can't see Darth Vader, he's faceless, and, like, look, like, the defining trait of him is his badassery. It's not as necessary his connection to the dark side, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, his whole point is, Luke, I am your father. That's the whole thing that people know. Like, it's his most iconic line is his relation to a good guy. Whereas Kylo Ren is basically, like, his relation is to a bad guy. He's like, I want to be Darth Vader 2.0. Like, oh, honey, you're already off on the wrong foot. Like, this is bad.
Yeah.
So
especially, because Rey tells Luke at some point, like that he... Rey knows that Vader redeemed himself at the end in this movie, which means that it's not a secret.
That Darth Vader, like, redeemed himself?
That Darth Vader redeemed himself, because if Rey isn't related to any of them, there's no reason...
That she would know that randomly.
That she would know that, except that it was, like, known literally across the galaxy.
Yeah, Chewie probably told somebody. I mean, people know about Luke Skywalker in general, and they know what he did, so, like, someone must have been talking some stuff somewhere.
Yeah, so, like, I think that the... So, like, it's not, but that said, like, then it's not a secret. If it's not a secret to Rey, who grew up in the dirt on a desert planet.
It's not a secret to Luke.
Then it's not a secret to Kylo Ren.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he knew about it. This is Grandpa. Grandpappy.
Yeah, like, so, like, he's not just idolizing this, like, former villain. Like, he's ignoring the fact.
The good parts?
Even the former villain at the end was like, nah, you're right. I fucked up.
Yeah, and if that's your grandpa, you think you would know a little bit more about, like, if you have, like, his helmet, you should, like, how much did you actually care about all that stuff?
Yeah.
I continue to find him a compelling villain, though, because he's intimidating to the villains, and he is super to the good guys, but the villains are like, this guy's kind of a douche, and we can see that he has, like, tantrums, but, like, he still works as a villain, because, like, the good guys never see him, like, losing it. They're just like, this guy is really strong, could kill anybody. And we're like, yeah, if he actually stops crying about it, like, this is the second...
Yeah, if he was just not, like, constantly just, like, frustrated.
Like, this is the second time in two movies where he, like, let the Resistance go because he was cocky and thought he could, like, handle something on his own. Like, it's failed twice.
Yeah, just, like, this girl outsmarted you multiple times and overpowered you, like...
I was talking about, like, he's like, I'm going to fight Luke Skywalker by myself. Or, like, at what point does that seem like a good idea? Oh, it's not even him.
Yeah.
He's just a force projection, which was interesting of a thing to use. The movie cheated on that, though. I don't like when movies cheat. Or at least, like, kind of cheat. Like, so Luke puts the projection to, like, annoy Kylo Ren and stall for time. Mm-hmm. But, like, how corporeal was he? Like, yeah, cause Leia hugged him.
Leia hugged him. Like, he gave her those, like, the, like,
dice.
Car dice.
Yeah, and Kylo picked those up after Luke disappeared. So, like,
yeah, and then they, like, faded away in his hand. So, like,
they must have had some, like, physicality to them. I don't know. But, I mean, I thought that was a badass thing to do. They're like, oh man, see you around, kid.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, like, is I think it muddles the mythology a little bit because, like, the Force has, like, can be used physically, like, obviously, like, lifting rocks. But, like, the Force ghosts have never, besides, like, using the Force like Yoda does, like, to zap the tree or whatever, like, they're not used, or, like, the Force ghosts don't interact as physical beings with the world.
That's because they're ghosts. They're dead.
Because they're ghosts. They're dead, yeah. And so I wonder if that was why Luke was able to do more, because, like, it clearly points out in other parts of this movie that he's not OP. Like, he is a pretty average Jedi.
I think he has, like, blocks and stuff, like, that stop him from doing things, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's not a whole lot of reason for Kylo Ren to not be able to, like, overpower Rey at any given point, like, just because of her lack of training, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I'll assume that she's stronger than him, but the fact that, like, he can't pull a lightsaber away from someone who, like, found out about this in this time, like a week ago, that she could even do any of this stuff, and you've been doing it for, like, at least 5 years, like,
yeah,
and you've known about it for longer, and for some reason she's, like, as powerful as you, maybe just because of destiny or whatever, because she's his counterpart, but, like, yeah, I don't know what makes you OP, because, like, apparently, like, he can obfuscate his thought enough that Snoke's like, oh yeah, he's aiming his lightsaber, totally not at me, though, like,
yeah,
also killed, like, the guy who he thought was, like, the baddest dude, so, like, and who was more powerful than him? Like, clearly was more powerful than Kylo Ren. Just killed that guy. So, like, I guess you're the big bad now? Like, who doesn't seem to care that much about the dark side? You're just a dick?
Yeah.
Like, what's his goal?
I mean, like, it's almost, like, a little more unnerving because, like, it's, like, if you're, like, devoted to the idea of the dark side, then you, like, have, like, a predictable...
Like, you can be fought.
You can be fought because your decisions can be predicted because, like...
Because you're fighting for the darkness, but, like...
Yeah, because you're fighting for darkness. It's like saying, like, I can assume that, like, a regular Republican is going to do, like, XYZ thing to, like, to cause problems for a certain community because that's how regular Republicans work.
Right.
But, like,
but Kylo Ren, like, he's not part of the alt-right. He just worked with them. He's worse. He's scarier.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Donald Trump, for on the flip side, like, just does whatever the fuck he feels like doing, and so it's...
Which just typically tends to, like, align with what they do, because he's like, I'm willing to do stuff from the dark side, but at the same time, if it doesn't benefit me, why would I waste time doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Like...
So, yeah.
Like, Kylo Ren was definitely like, we could blow up the First Order, too. Like, it's like, I don't... why...
I don't need these guys.
It's like, I guess that's true, but, like, what do you... What's your goal here? Just, like, to take over the whole entire universe? Like... We're going to need some, like, people.
What is the goal, actually? Like, because he does say, like, rule the universe, and it's like,
That's, like, some supervillain level shit for the sake of it. Like, what's the First Order's goal, even? And like, the Sith and, like, the Republic? Just to, like, be a powerful government?
Yeah, like...
like, it's...
Well, because, like...
It's not modest, but for, like, a supervillain... bad guys, it's kind of modest. Like, we just want to rule everybody, and we kind of already have one. That's a thing. It seems like they already won a long time ago.
Like, because, like, in the prequels, the Empire takes over from the Democratic Senate that was there before. And then in the in the original trilogy, it's, like, that's the way of things, is the Empire, like... And so and then in the sequel trilogy, originally, like, that was, like, the post-recovery... government, like, that was trying to still, like, 20 years later trying to rebuild from the Empire.
Until they got blown up.
But then the entire thing gets blown up, so it's like, well, here's this military force, like, that at least has
a couple, like, guys.
A couple dudes in it, and, like,
a couple, like, a Jedi. Like,
some people with, yeah, like, some people with guns and, like, a clear structure of... like, chain of command?
Yeah, like, luckily, the only thing, the reason...
Or some, like, crazy people in a freighter.
Well, the reason that the rebellion resistance have gone on so long is because the First Order is hilariously ineffective.
Bad.
Like...
Yeah.
Oh, let's just chase this little ship. Like, let's not go any faster and just, like, annoy them to, like, say, oh, you're gonna die soon. Oh, maybe we should have killed them when we had the chance. I don't know. There was no need to do that. I assume that ship could go faster. I don't know if ships can't go faster. Speaking of speed, I appreciate Chewie's Millennium Falcon drive-by. I'm going to drop mm-hmm. out of light speed for like half a second. Drop this girl off and peace out because I'm not staying. There's like a lot, I don't know. There's a lot of cool stuff about this movie. And I still have a hard time collecting my thoughts into like a straight line, like a consistent order. But I don't know. I'm still happy with it. I'm pretty sure that Maz came back.
Maz was good.
I mean, okay. Let's talk about the SJW feminist liberal nonsense for a second. I loved that stuff. I feel like there's more. Like,
can you point to one part of the movie that was that, or just the whole thing?
I said it sarcastically. There's like. Because, I mean, obviously it wasn't the most diverse movie, but it was, like, a lot more. Like, there was a lot, like, I feel like a decent amount of women of color just, like, not affecting the plot, but, like, in ships. I mean, pretty sure I saw, like, yeah, a black, like, woman even in the, like... First Order, which is, like, not where they would realistically be, but, you know, the future's not racist and sexist. It's so, you know, anyone could be evil. The FCC has told us that you can be evil of any ethnicity. as long as you're a guy. But I mean, even like in the X-Wings, you know, in the First Order,
yeah.
I just feel like people could have, there was somewhere to be, you know, like they gave the Resistance leader part two, like she had purple hair, you know, which seemed more to piss people off that would get mad about such a thing than like actually any reason to do that, which, you know, I loved. Yeah.
I think like part of it was like, because I was reading stuff about her before the movie that was, like, she has a very different style of running things than Leia, and, like, her and Poe clash over that. And, like, so I like, it very much to me feels like that was, like, I mean, like, maybe it was, like, a like, a middle finger to, like, people who are like, oh, yeah, SJW fans. But I think part of it was definitely calculated, like, this will make people underestimate her because she wears, like, clothes that look less than practical and clearly cares about her appearance.
I mean, I feel like that happens to some extent. I just, you know, I feel like setting somebody up to be the commander after General Organa just makes them look like not as good in comparison. Like, I trust her more than I trust Poe. So, I mean, she didn't seem set up to be like that. Like, the main difference between her and Leia was just that she wasn't willing to tell her plans to Poe. That's all I really saw. Like, and she was more willing to just, like, lock him up, you know? Like,
yeah, like, Poe's not, like she's not Poe's, like, surrogate mom. Like,
yeah, that's about the only difference, because her leading style was still confident, you know, was badass enough to, like, escape being held at gunpoint by
a mutiny. Yeah, like, bold, like.
Like, she didn't seem that, her leading style was not that much different, in my opinion, other than she just didn't care much for Poe's flyboy attitude.
Flyboyness,
That's the only difference I saw, which was, like, I feel like Leia just was used to that because of Han. Like, it's not like was specifically a fan of that style. Just, that's her husband. Because, like,
I think, like, it wouldn't, like, Leia chose her to be second in command for a reason, you know, like.
Yeah, like, she's qualified. She didn't
get to be second in command of the Resistance.
Right.
By, like, being, like, flighty or, like, weak-willed.
Yeah, and it's kind of, like, weird to see that kind of stuff, because we never, like, it's always weird when someone's like, oh, hey, the most second important person, she's right here, she's been here the whole time. You're like, oh, that's, it's weird for us to just now see her. And it's also, like, it's, because you see that's weird that Poe had a through line to the commander of the Resistance, but not her second in command. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, was he demoted, like, underneath her, or was, like, she always second? You know what I mean?
I think, like, I can report back once I've seen it again in an hour.
Okay.
but I think there was a line that was, like, she had been stationed elsewhere.
Oh, okay.
And had just, like, joined back up with the rest of the Resistance recently, so, like, Poe hadn't been, like, her direct report.
Oh, okay, so he just
previously.
Did. Okay, that makes sense.
So,
okay.
Like, he had heard that she was, like, an impressive badass commander, but, like, had not...
Didn't know who she was.
Seen it in action, and didn't really, like, have the same...
Like, reverence.
Opinion of her. Yeah, like, reverence that he has towards Leia.
Yeah, I guess it kind of sucks that we never got to see, like, well, I wish we could have saw more from her, because we're to be like, oh, she's this badass. We never really see it except for a little bit, and then she dies, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean...
And, like, as much as I like that they're setting up Poe to be kind of, like, the leader of the Resistance, basically, in the next movie, I also feel like it sucks that, like, women keep having to die to teach him a lesson.
Who died, like, not in the first one?
I don't know if... No, I mean, like, no one dies in the first one, but I mean, like, in this movie, like, because Leia's not going to be in the next movie.
Yeah, but I feel like her death isn't going to be, like, the teach him anything. I think she's going to die, so he's going to, like, have to step up. Not so much, mm-hmm. like, her death had any impact other than, like, hey, it's you now. Go ahead, do the thing.
But, like, I mean, like, she almost died in this movie. Like, I actually, like, I thought she was dead for a hot minute.
Yeah, but that had nothing to do with him, right? Like...
No, but he did stick around for longer than they needed to when they were trying to escape.
I thought that's once they already jumped through hyperspeed. And then, like...
Because he jumps into their ship, and they jump to hyperspeed. So, like...
I don't remember those.
They were waiting for him at the beginning.
I thought he blew it up after they caught back up to the Resistance.
Oh, that's possible.
I think that's what happened, because, yeah, their ship's not going to go into hyperspeed after it, like, jumped, I feel like. I feel like Kylo Ren jumped in, and he got mad about something.
Okay, because he almost shoots the thing, and then he doesn't, because...
Because Leia's there, and he cares about his mom.
Leia's there.
But then his buddies shoot it. That's when they were going to do their counterattack, so I think that's after they jumped. Yeah, because that's why Poe's like, we have to send Finn and Rose to go do side mission. Because, like, they thought that they were just going to float till they died.
Yeah. Which, but, like, I feel like it's a bummer that, like, the reason that Poe will end up being the head of the Resistance is because all of the women who were ahead of him aren't there anymore.
I prefer that rather than he does something that they're you're better than them.
Like, let's promote you over them. Yeah.
It's like, oh crap. There's nobody left. I guess you're the best one we have left. But I mean, it's definitely like just replacing the original trio. Like Finn replaced Han. I would bet money that Rey's going to start wearing like Luke type clothing in the next movie. Cause Finn was just wearing Han clothes this movie. Like he just looked like Han with a vest.
If you remember the hype when they first started showing pictures of him, those are actually clothes that Poe wears in the previous movie.
Right.
So everyone was like, oh my god, he's wearing Poe's clothes.
Yeah, I think Poe's clothes were just matching Han's, and that's why Finn put them on eventually, because he's like the weird outsider that doesn't understand the Force. And then Rey's the chosen Jedi, and then Poe's just the person who's
the rebellious guy.
He's like he's like the most rebellious,
guy with cool hair.
Yeah.
Like,
I appreciate that Carrie Fisher's daughter was in this with like the little knots in her hair.
Little buns,
That was cute to see. Wasn't as epic as it was in Scream Queens, but you know, obviously it would be weird if she just had Leia buns in this movie. Like, oh, I remember I used to wear those. And the fight scene with Rey and Kylo, that was an amazing scene.
That was an amazing scene.
Just pure action. Just really, really cool. They had great, like, energy as a team.
Like,
it was fun to watch.
I'm curious and interested. I don't know if this is a thing in Reylo fan fiction already, because I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole, but I'm curious to see how the concept of a Force bond springs up as, like, a fan fiction trope going forward.
There's a lot of people that have to do edits and add chapters.
Just because, like, I mean, like, after the first movie, like, the, like, Finn waking up and Poe had been there sitting, like, waiting for him to wake up the whole time was, like, a common thing. And, like, other, like teaching Rey how to swim because she grew up on a desert planet. Like, the things that showed up in a lot of fanfics because they were like, I like to dig around in that idea. But, like, there are enough people who feel like Finn is force sensitive that
possibly
I'm sure that I was actually really bummed in his fight with Phasma that he didn't like because like he falls down that like crevice for a second. I was
that
like
apparently was not very crevice like because he came back like 2 seconds later.
I was kind of bummed that her character didn't get more play.
I feel like she's still gonna come back, like I have no fear that she'll be in the next movie. this is really good armor. but I mean the fight scenes were good. It's good to see Finn use like the weapons he got to use before. I like that Snoke called Kylo's mask stupid.
And then he had like another
tantrum,
like baby tantrum, and destroyed it.
Which was, you know, Snoke's not.
See my flowing hair.
Snoke's not completely evil. He's only 99%. Like, he did do the fandom a service by getting rid of that mask, which was not a bad mask, but looks weird when you're wearing, like, a turtleneck underneath it. Like, it's not big enough.
Yeah, it makes your head look small.
What else? There, like, the fight scene was good. Like, all the weird weapons. Like, I'm pretty sure one of them was, like, a spear, pike, chainsaw. Like, because it made chainsaw noises. I'm not misremembering that, am I?
It's possible. I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, I like that he used the lightsaber, like, she's like, Ben, catch, and he caught the lightsaber and just clicked it to, like, burst through the guy's face. Like, that was cool. I don't know. I think this movie is, it's too hard to not enjoy it while you're watching it. And the criticisms, you'd be like, they probably could have not did that. How'd you like the Porg? The Porg and the little salt dogs, how'd you like them?
I really like the salt dogs. Porg for cute. Our former guest Lila said that like she doesn't feel as precious about them as she did before, having seen them in the movie, and I definitely agree with that.
I feel like they're just like, tacked on as like a marketing scheme, and it totally works. I'm like, they're cute. That's whatever. Like, they didn't need to be there. It doesn't hurt me.
Yeah, like the people who got out of the I guess like the very first showing, like maybe like the 7 o'clock 3D IMAX showing. were leaving the movie theater as we were coming in on Thursday, and they had gotten tote bags that had, like, a pork on the tote bag and then, like, a life-size pork plushie.
I mean, I would be, like, upset about having that, but that would make me not want to buy another one.
Yeah.
Also, they don't look like you make good Funko Pops out of them.
No, they don't look very Funko-able.
They don't. That's a missed opportunity, I say as I retweet a Funko Pop. There's a Kylo Ren in a modded X-Wing? TIE Fighter? It looks like a TIE Wing? What the hell is this, actually?
Because he has
It's a TIE Fighter, but it's a modded TIE Fighter.
His, like, fancy special one that he flies in this one.
He's such an edgelord.
Seriously.
You know, it's,
the edgiest of lords.
I appreciate that he's like an edgelord in a fandom thing, and he's not like the least interesting character, like, in a series. Like Kill la Kill, the edgy character Ryuko, she's not that interesting. Shadow and Sonic, like, Sonic's the main, Shadow's the edgy one. They're not that interesting either, usually. So it's nice that Kylo Ren has, like, conflict, and, like, he's actually interesting. But yeah, I mean, I came out of the movie feeling pretty good about it, and you're going to see it again. I'm sure you'll appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, like, at the very least, like, I won't be... I had, like, a very emotional and, like, several, like, peak high point, like, moments over the course of Thursday. And so, like, by the time I got to see the movie, like, I had already used all of the adrenaline in my body twice. So, like, I was just... like, very overwhelmed and, like, you know, like, also, like, desperate to find out what's going to happen. I feel like this is going to be a more contemplative viewing.
Well, yeah, now you know what happens.
Where I can think, yeah, like, I can think more about, like, the implications of things.
So I wonder, like, how much spoilers actually, like, make your viewing a little bit better.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, well, like, before... one of my roommate's friends, because we went to see it together, one of her friends had told her previously, like, the afternoon before she saw the movie, that, like, the friend had seen a pre-screen and said, like, something along the lines of, like, didn't very much care for Finn and Rose's subplot, and, like, that was enough of a spoiler.
Yeah, that's a huge spoiler. That spoils it some, and that can definitely change how, like, you view it. I mean, it wasn't great, but it was, like, it just felt like a fun little romp that I'm like, this didn't really need to be here. Mm-hmm. But I didn't mind, I don't know, I just didn't mind at the time. I was just, like, too busy taking it all in. Like, I don't know, I'm the kind of person who would, like, watch a movie and, if I'm already invested in this series, not see its faults. Like, it's how people felt about the DC movies and Transformers, but, like, those movies are worse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Any other thoughts on it?
Well, I'm just scanning through a post titled "Why Rian Johnson Didn't Change Leia's Last Jedi Arc After Carrie Fisher Passed Away," which is something that I've been kind of harping on since Thursday. So,
yeah, I don't know.
And the kind of troubling takeaway from this discussion with him is basically, like, that's a problem for the person in charge of Episode 9 to figure out. but also, like, you know, like, oh, well, like, she had a huge part in shaping Leia's arc, and I didn't want to take that performance away from fans, and, like, but it says, like, given that we had a beautiful, complete performance from her that I think audiences deserve to see, and I think that it'll really mean a lot for them, that ray of hope from Leia. For all of those reasons, I felt very strongly that we had to let this fly. Luckily, we have a fantastic storyteller in J.J. Abrams who is going to figure out a way to bring it home in the end. It was kind of just, like, saying, like, oh, well, I don't have to worry about how to figure this out,
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people probably make movies that way. I don't know. I feel like you don't want to kill a character when their actor dies, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to feel distasteful in some way. Mm-hmm. So you're like, we'll just not do anything? People will take in action when action is scary, I suppose. I don't know. But yeah, do you have anything else to say?
So, no, like, I mean, like, it was nice to see Leia use the Force in a physical way, even though it was a really cheesy scene.
About that scene, like, what about that? Did that scene seem weird to you? Like, the logistics of it didn't seem bullshit to me, but something about it looked bullshit to me, you know?
Yeah, it felt kind of bullshit to me. Especially because, like, at that moment, I was like, oh, okay, I guess they really are going to kill her off in this movie. And this is, like, I can accept this. Like, I can, maybe, like, I will have closure instead of wanting to cry now every time that I think about Carrie Fisher. And, like, it was like, oh, then her hand twitched and her eyes open and she, like, pulls herself back into the, like, the ship.
Yeah, that was like, something.
Yeah, it felt kind of, like, the scene was very somber, and it felt like, kind of like, oh my god, this is corny as hell. And I mean, like, Star Wars doesn't have to be super serial all the time, but, like,
IDK. I always consider them kind of cheesy, so I never mind if something's like, I'm just like, oh, that's cheesy, whatever, and I just keep it moving, so, I don't know. I don't have any complex thoughts about the tone. I don't mind that there's jokes all the time because I've talked to people in the last 10 years. And I know people in reality don't ever stop joking no matter how serious the situation is.
I have nothing against joke.
Like, some people are like, oh, why are they always joking? Or like, this is serious. I'm like, I've been around people whose parents and family and like siblings are literally dying and they make a joke. And I'm like, I think people joke when they're stressed. Like, so, if someone's like, oh man, like, why did Finn feel the need to, like, be goofy about being shocked by Rose? I'm like, because people make jokes. Like, if you've talked to anybody in the last 6 years, I'd say. I don't know if it's because of fiction or not, but people joke constantly and have to make people laugh, even if it's just conversation. So, that doesn't feel tacked on to me. It just feels how people talk. But yeah, I liked it. I'd see it again. I wouldn't go buy a ticket to it because I don't like to go see movies a second time, but I'd watch it on a rainy day. I'd recommend people to see it. So
yeah, I think that I wouldn't have seen it a second time if I hadn't already had a ticket. Like, I've seen it again in theaters, like, because we had bought two sets of tickets when we bought tickets because we were thinking, like, we know we're going to want to see it a second time because we're hyped for it. But I'm kind of more excited about movie food right now than I am about,
like, popcorn.
Well, we're going to the Alamo Draft House, which you can order, like, whole meals and, like, boozy milkshakes and shit.
Is this like an all Jedi screening, or do you have to be, like, a certain demographic to go to this one, or?
Human, I think.
Human. What's the movie they did all-female screening for? What movie was that?
Wonder Woman.
It was Wonder Woman, that's right, okay.
Yeah. A single screening that people lost their minds
People really about. Did. I don't know. I was...
As if there were no other movie theaters in all of New York showing the movie, or as if that movie theater itself was not showing a later screening that was not all-female.
I'm too cynical in life. I'm like, this is just a cash grab. And they're like, yes, that's exactly why we would do an event, to grab cash. That's what we're a business. That's what we do. It just so happens this one might make some people feel comfortable. People are like, I'm going to protest the Alamo Draft House. I'm like, have fun doing that from Pennsylvania, buddy. Like, you can't,
right.
you can't protest a movie by not going somewhere you weren't going to see it. Any closing thoughts on Star Wars or this format of episode where you just ramble about one thing for an hour? Which is only 20 minutes than what we normally do in an episode, and have to, like, film around it.
I'm good. That's about all my thoughts right now. I'm sure there are things that we didn't touch on.
Oh, yeah. There's like, weird stuff like, oh, what color is Luke's saber? And, like, what powers does the Force have? The Force can do whatever it wants, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Solid film. It's a big event. It's a nice event movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's nothing more complex than good versus evil and the conflict in between. If you want to look more into it than that, then I think it's the wrong series, pal. this is where we do, like, the social media business, but, like, it's a special. I don't really feel like it. Do you feel like it? I think you got to go soon.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, so, as always, you can find us on the Twitters, Facebook. You've probably heard it before. It's going to be in the show notes, as always. So, listeners, appreciate you sticking around for this one. Check out something a little bit different. And we'll be back soon with another episode. We're probably taking, like, there's going to be like a weird Christmas week off because we both celebrate Christmas. But to everybody else, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy Winter Solstice, Happy Kwanzaa. And until
next... Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
And if you listen to this episode, you can find us on and want to fight with us about something in a respectful way. You can find us in any of those social media places.
Yeah, we're going to... I'll be there. We'll have a phone on somewhere. So, yeah. Until next time, see you later.
Bye.